80. Get them at their new time from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
This is Blaine and Mickey, and we'll keep with the BM theme today as it's Buck and Mickey. Buck Rising sitting in for Blaine Bishop. Buck from A to Z Sports and A to Z Sports Primetime and the 615 Sessions podcast, and he's been on ESPN a couple of times, and he's from Indiana, and he played high school football, and I've seen pictures of him. He was husky. He has a fantastic beard, and that got him, the husky comment. You were a lineman. You were a big guy.
I am hugely offended to start this show. I didn't realize that we were going to go through all of my accomplishments or lack thereof, particularly when I was fat, Mickey. Just call it like it is. You don't got to sugarcoat things for me. I know what I am. I sink into it. Uber Eats has done me dirty, especially since the pandemic started. But it's all right. Husky is acceptable. I am what my gene size says I am.
Dude, you can't blame Uber Eats. You're the man hitting go on that.
No, I can, because the app exists, and it's just further, it's been a catalyst for my laziness during these times when we're all spending a good deal more time at home. But yes, Mickey, lovely to see you as well. You do not look husky, nor fat, nor anything else as we sit here at 1 o'clock on a Thursday.
Well, I can find you some husky pictures back in the day. I can find you some. There's some of those out there. I don't know about being big, but we're going to talk big today. We're going to talk a lot about the Titans. They'll hit the practice field again today. Seems like most of the DBs didn't practice yesterday, and an already thin unit, Buck. I hope you've been able to say some kind of chants or incantations over a picture of Adoree Jackson, because they already needed that dude, and they need him even more. So let's hope that everything is just hunky-dory this week with him.
Listen to me. I don't go anywhere near Adoree Jackson. I don't go anywhere near the third field. Otherwise, Mike Vrabel will choke slam me through the Zoom if I so much as peek in that direction, because apparently the rules, there was a miscommunication. Regardless, yeah, the Wednesday DNPs for the Titans, I really don't lend a whole ton of credence to, because you see some big names there outside of the DBs. Christian Fulton, who we know will probably miss some time based off Kaharski's reporting. Dane Cruikshank back on there with a groin. Jadeveon Clowney, Jonathan Joseph, Dennis Kelly, Jeffrey Simmons. But like Wednesdays, I kind of look at it almost as a throwaway. We'll obviously have some more information about who was available, limited capacity or not, at 2 o'clock once they wrap up practice. And we'll be able to report on who was or was not out there. But Wednesdays, I just, you know, I look at it more as a day of rest.
Absolutely. Should be for all of us. Buck Rising hanging out with me today in place of Blaine, who's got the day off. Bengals are up next. I'm not a big fantasy football guy, because if I don't like something, I don't want to root for something. Brent Daugherty and I have been over this many times on the air. Like, if I don't like rooting for a certain team, I don't want to have their defense and need them to score, you know, 8 points for me to beat you in this week's fantasy matchup. So I've never been a big fantasy guy, but I do like to see what the fantasy guys say. And the Matthew Berry, who's ESPN's, you know, chief fantasy honcho, he has players that he loves every week. He actually loves both players who play quarterback in this week's matchup between the Bengals and the Titans. They were listed right there one after the other, but, I would imagine both quarterbacks have to be licking their chops at the matchup that awaits. Now, the second half Titans, but if the second half Steelers Titans defensive unit shows up, who knows, man? I mean, that looked like Titans we'd seen in the past. Got off the field, created a couple of turnovers. They still weren't great on third down, but they were at least better than they were in the first half.
See, that's the thing with me. Like, and I talked about this on 3HL, because I do a regular Monday hit now that you guys have split me up divorce-wise on Monday and Fridays between you and Blaine and Dawn and Brent, the rare four-way divorce, child of divorce. The defense wasn't that much better in the second half. Like, not shut out better as opposed to 27 points in the first half. And we talked to Vrabel about this. Yeah, they did some things differently. Trying to bring pressure from different areas. Jeff Simmons got his hand on a couple passes that made those interceptions possible. The one that helped set them up for the 45-yard Gostkowski miss was honestly just I thought it was a little bit lazy by Roethlisberger to try and fit it in there between three Titans defenders. So, I mean, credit where credit is due, because they did put themselves in position to try and mount. It was almost a comeback and nearly a tie had the kicker made the field goal at the end there. But, like, I don't come away with that feeling any differently, Mickey, out of that Pittsburgh loss. And I know you and I haven't talked about it yet. I don't feel much differently about the Titans that we watched through the first five games and the ones that we saw on Sunday, because the problems that they've had are what cost them against Pittsburgh. It's the same exact team. It was the same team from one half to another, just a couple momentum-shifting plays. You had Jeff Simmons, as we mentioned. You had Jayon Brown getting an interception, Amani Hooker as well. But, like, I didn't feel any better or worse about it after the second half, just that thank God that they made that football game more enjoyable for the rest of us to watch, and that it wasn't a blowout in the second half.
Well, it was eminently more enjoyable in the second half, that's for sure. Derrick Henry has been enjoyable in the AFC. He's the leading rusher. He's the AFC Offensive Player of the Month, Buck. He averaged 114.7 rushing yards per game. He had 344 yards in the month of October, or has so far, I guess. That'll be November on Sunday, so that'll put a bow on this month. Five rushing touchdowns in October, led the conference, tied for the NFL lead. He's got 663 total yards. He's got 112 more than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or Helaire, depending on how hard you hit that E, because the H is silent, Buck. I don't know if you knew that.
Debate. I called every one of his snaps when they played Vanderbilt in the 2019 season, because, you know, I used to do the press box PA, so I was the only one in the country, I'm convinced, that knew how to say Tua Tagovailoa's name correctly, because he played the entire second half against Vanderbilt the year before he went in the championship game for Jalen Hurts. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one that I have since mastered. Shout out Vandy football.
Shout out. Shout out to 10 for 81 receiving also for Derrick Henry. 53 of that came on one play. He has four first downs receiving on the year. You want to get into some Derrick Henry talk later. Maybe even open up the phones in the final segment of this first hour to talk about Derrick Henry and where he is and where we are. And is he meeting people's expectations right? Is he overrated? Is he underrated? Or is he exactly who Titans fans want him to be? Want to get into some of those things later?
I would love to, and we'll do so after we talk to Spiro Dedes, the play-by-play broadcaster from CBS, coming up in the next segment, and I would love to hear the people's feedback via poll or phone. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation, because I'm going to tell you right now, Mickey, I'm feeling that this is a little bit fraudulent. I'm feeling that this Derrick Henry Offensive Player of the Month, little bit fraudulent, and I will tell the people why probably after we speak to Spiro Dedes. How about that for a tease?
Oh, man, that's people just got to sit around and just marinate in that for a minute or two now. Last thing is this before we wrap up the first segment. Nashville SC is playoff bound. It's the fourth time in the expansion era. I guess it's happened a couple of other times, but the fourth time in the expansion era that a newly minted team has clinched a spot in the playoffs. You are fully on board with Nashville SC, Buck. You're everyone in on this, or however it goes, right? You're one of
How's the song go? Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I'm not going to sing on the radio. I'd be filled with shame. No, I will not.
No,
absolutely refuse. I think we are trying to retain audience, Mickey, not drive them away to various other places. The Nashville SC thing is cool because they beat Montreal. That put them in a spot to clinch. Atlanta and Inter-Miami lost, which – ultimately, they didn't even need the win last night to have their playoff spot clinched to get in there. And I think people, I don't know how invested people have felt with Nashville SC. It's the inaugural season, of course, and so there's going to be a higher level of engagement and interest this year, probably more than any other year until they become, or if they become, championship caliber. Right. But I mean, the pandemic has done such a disservice to them in the way that it's made this season disjointed, but it's a huge accomplishment for Nashville SC to make the playoffs in their inaugural season. And I think they could actually do some damage. Cadiz who they signed, is an absolute animal. Whether he, whether or not he goes back to Europe, is still up in the air at this point. It's potential.
Yeah, same for me. Same for me. I may go back to Europe too.
Well, not right now. Now's not the now's not the best time to plan your Greek vacation. But I know that we can get a little Greek on the other side because Spiro Dedis celebrating Greek Independence Day yesterday.
Tease machine Buck Rising right there, people. He is letting you know what's coming up. Blaine and Mickey with special guest Buck Rising. Spiro Dedis next. He's on the call Sunday for Titans and Bengals.
Coming up this afternoon on the 3HL.
Tennessee Vol Talk with former Tennessee wide receiver Jason Swain.
Vandy hosts Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. Derek Mason, Swaggy D, hops on.
I bet Lane Kiffin will tweet about it. What do you think? Plus, yeah. Jay Morrison covers the Bengals. We'll check in with him.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone, hanging out with special guest Buck Rising. A to Z Sports. Want to wish everybody a happy National Cat Day. Just saw on Twitter in this last break that it is National Cat Day. I believe it was Lisa Loeb, 90s folk rock singer, who had tweeted that. So all of you cat people, we wish you the happiest of National Cat Days. About to talk to Spiro Dedis, who is on the call for CBS Sports. Titans and Bengals on Sunday. He joins us now. Spiro, I got to ask you this to start things off, because I know you're very proud of your Greek heritage, and you can see it on your social media posts and that kind of thing. When I was growing up in Harrisburg, Arkansas, one of my best friends was a guy. His mom was Greek and his dad was from Harrisburg, Arkansas. They met when his dad was in the Air Force, and that dude lived on the beach in Athens, but he spent summers in rural Arkansas. You ever think about spending any time in rural Arkansas? You know, there's a big Greek community there. At least there was in the 80s.
You know, I first of all, it's good to be with you guys. Arkansas seems as far away from Greece to me if I closed my eyes and thought, man, what's like the opposite of where I am when we're in Greece? But come to think of it, rural Arkansas actually reminds me of a lot of where my family's from. My parents are from a tiny village about 90 minutes from Athens. Very remote, very rural, basically a bunch of farmers. And so that way of life, that lifestyle actually reminds me of spending the summers with my grandfather, who was a farmer, and getting up on his donkey and riding to the fields where he would work the land. And so, you know, once you get past like the initial shock of the difference, you know, you think of Greece and the Riviera and the beaches and the Mediterranean, that's a very small part of the country and the lifestyle. So that actually makes some sense. I'm going to have to check out rural Arkansas and live it and just see how close it is to what I'm used to.
I love it.
Well, yeah, you can do that, Spiro, after, of course, the Titans and the Bengals take place this coming Sunday. But you and I, perhaps our folks were neighbors across the Mediterranean. I am of Egyptian heritage. You're, of course, of Greek heritage. I want to know, because this was a thing in Egypt when I lived there, with my parents for a couple of years. Do they in Greece have donkeys that pull garbage carts behind them, as opposed to what we know to be garbage collection trucks here in the United States? Is that a thing in Greece as it is in Egypt?
You know, I have not seen that myself, but I can say that donkeys are used for basically every facet of blue collar life. So whether it's transporting a farmer's grandkids or transporting hay and all kinds of heavy machinery that we as humans cannot take with us over the course of miles to get to where we need to go with our farming equipment. Those poor animals, man, I've seen them loaded up like you can't believe. So that would not surprise me to see that was one of the functions that they're used in Egypt. And I grew up with a lot of friends from Egypt, very similar cultures, very, very warm people. And that is on my bucket list, man, to go to Cairo and to experience other more remote parts of that country. First chance I get. And once we can get past this pandemic, you know, hopefully the borders will open and we can start traveling again. But that is on my list for sure.
Yeah, they'll take their your tourism dollars, no doubt. They were hurting before the pandemic started with everything going on in the Middle East. But a subject for another day. We'll quit making donkeys out of ourselves, and we'll talk to Spiro Dedes of CBS. We'll, of course, be on the call between the Bengals and the Titans on Sunday with Adam Archuleta. Spiro, you and Adam had the Browns and Bengals last weekend. Cincy was giving them a run for their money until Baker Mayfield fit just an absolute bullet. Like, I think about 12 seconds left on the clock. What did you see from the Cincinnati defense that seems to just absolutely sabotage what the Bengals have done, what the Bengals offense has done anyway, to get up early on these teams?
Yeah, you know, if you're a Bengals fan, man, it was just a rough finish. And if you think about it, the last couple of weeks has been really brutal. You know, you go back 2 weeks to the game in Indy, they jump out to that 21-0 lead early in the second quarter, and you think you're on easy street, and the defense unable to protect that lead. Last week, you know, a different game, certainly. First of all, last week's game, one of the craziest, wildest games that Adam and I have a chance to call. I mean, it was literally back and forth, alternating scores from the opening kick right up until that last Baker Mayfield touchdown pass. So just a really fun game to watch. It sounds crazy to say, guys, but I think the defense is making small strides, but they're moving in the right direction. They've had a lot of issues that they've had to work through. Injuries to Geno Atkins, who has kind of been the horse up front of that defense. He's still not close to where he's been. Who knows if he'll get there. They've had this whole Carlos Dunlap situation, kind of a black cloud hanging over the team. They finally elect to move him this week. So, you know, speaking to Zach Taylor a little while ago, their head coach, Lou Anarumo, we just got off our Zoom calls with him about 30 minutes ago. They all feel like they're moving in the right direction, and the urgency level to figure it out couldn't be higher right now because of the fact that you have in Joe Burrow this really once-in-a-decade type prospect as a first-year quarterback. I mean, to see what he's doing, the aptitude that he has for the position, the pre-snap recognition, the comfort level, I've never been as impressed with a rookie quarterback, and I'm a huge Andrew Luck guy. I mean, he's the first guy that comes to mind, guys, in terms of how quickly he was able to get it as a rookie quarterback. I think Joe Burrow is a half a step, maybe even a full step in front of what Luck was. That's how I'm impressed I am with this kid. And when you sit and talk to him, his mannerisms, the way he breaks it down with my partner Archuleta, when they're just talking about football, it's nothing about this kid tells you that he's a rookie. It's just really, really impressive to see.
Spiro Dedes from CBS Sports, NBA on TNT. You've heard him a lot of different places. Our guest on the call Sunday for Titans and Bengals. And this is a guy who's throwing it all over the yard and what had over 400 in that game that you and Adam just called against Cleveland. And he's facing a Titans defense that has been susceptible to the pass and has been susceptible extremely, like at a historical rate on third down. If you're the Titans, this is not a good matchup, Spiro, because this is a young quarterback, like you said, who is getting it, and he's got a lot of weapons to throw to as well.
Yeah, you know, and look, A.J. Green is starting to get back to maybe not the A.J. of old, but certainly a player that can become a very dangerous piece for this offense. You know, he had almost 100 yards 2 weeks ago. Last week, close to 90 again. He's been targeted, I think, 24, 25 times. So it's clear that the chemistry now between Burrow and A.J. Green is getting stronger. T. Higgins, rookie wide receiver, is really starting to impress. And then, of course, you've got Tyler Boyd, who, for my money, could be the most underrated wide receiver in the league. 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years. A.J. Green says that he's the best slot receiver in the league, and it's not even close. So, you know, you start to put these three guys together, that's about as deep a wide receiver core as you can find, certainly in the AFC and certainly in that division. But the unfortunate thing for them now is they have a lot of injuries. They lost three starters on their offensive line last week. I'd be very concerned with that if I'm Zach Taylor. And they're still going to be without Joe Mixon this week, who we all know is a huge, huge piece of this offense. But, you know, all that said, it just, especially the offensive line injuries, guys, it just makes what Burrow is doing that much more impressive. You know, you lose one offensive starter during the course of the game on the offensive line. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. They lost three of them in the same game, and he didn't skip a beat. I mean, he drove them down the field at the end, put them in front with, I think, a minute and 6 seconds left in the game, and he's just Joe Cool. You know, he's just, I can't say enough good things about him. He's just really fun to watch.
You sent a shiver down the entire audience's spine, Spiro, when you referenced Andrew Luck, because of course Titans fans have just horrible memories of this man who retired undefeated against the Tennessee Titans. And you and Adam have seen a ton of Titans football for as many of their broadcasts as you've been on. I wonder, Spiro, how much different this Titans team looks compared to what you've seen in years past. And I say that because from my point of reference, I've lived here for 5 years, 4 years covering the team, and you'll probably be a little more diplomatic than me about this, but I could not stand watching them on offense for the longest time. And now the script has completely flipped, at least from my perspective, where they're scoring points on almost every drive and the defense can't make a stop to save their lives.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, first of all, certainly the outlook of this team from an outsider's perspective has changed, and I think it's a testament to Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff and everything that he's done, because, you know, it's one thing to have talented players in this league, but the teams that I've seen have success, there was an attitude when you walked into the building. There was a confidence and a certain standard, and I think when you consider where Mike has come from, all those years in New England, he's just a winner. And Mike is one of the few coaches that like makes me nervous. You walk into a room with him to meet with him, and he's stern. I mean, he is no nonsense. He is businesslike. And I think that attitude and that standard really permeates through the entire locker room. There's an instant respect factor, and there's a belief that, you know, we're a championship contending team. And I think you're seeing that now trickle down to all different parts of the organization. It starts from that, and then, you know, you need the players, you know, and I just think the last couple of years, John Robinson has done an unbelievable job filling this team with players and depth at multiple positions, and what they've done is very, very, very impressive. You know, Ryan Tannehill's resurrection has been a huge story in the league the last couple of years. People thought he was done, and he's resurrected himself, and that's been a great story to see. And Derrick Henry is on a run since the end of that 2018 season, the likes of which we haven't seen from a running back in I don't know how many years. You know, he's just he's such a physical specimen, guys. So you put all of this together, and you have the makings of something that could potentially be very special. The question will be with this defense, can they shore that side of the football up? And we'll just have to wait and see what happens the second half of the season.
Yeah, we'll find out more about the status of Adoree Jackson, of course, later in the week. Spiro Dedes of CBS here with us on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. The Zooms or however you guys are doing in years past with meeting with Vrabel before the game, before the broadcast, it's funny that you mentioned the sternness, because I swear to you, Spiro, I'm at these press conferences, or, you know, in another life at these press conferences every day, now on Zoom every day with him, and you have to be so much on your toes, because he will absolutely go back at you if you are not prepared. This is not a man that you can mail it in with, even as the media. He even coaches us up.
Yeah, no, listen, we're always prepared, and we're kind of we know what we want to ask these coaches before we go into a meeting. Mike Vrabel is like the only coach who I literally go through all my questions before I meet with him, because, like you said, if he doesn't think you're prepared, or if he doesn't think you're asking him, you know, a very intelligent football question, he's going to let you know about it. And, you know, it's funny, my partner Adam Archuleta sometimes he'll ask like these long-winded questions. And last year during one of our meetings, Mike said, you know what, Arch, just ask the question, man. It's like, I got to go. I got three meetings after this. And we still break Arch's chops about it, you know. About, listen, man, get to the question. You know, let's not keep him longer than we have to, because it makes for an uncomfortable situation. But we love Mike. I mean, he's turned the organization around, and he deserves all the credit.
Spiro Dedes, our guest from CBS Sports. How strange has it been for you guys, just COVID, with the way it impacts your meetings and your travel, and then you go and you sit in an empty building and you do a football game where normally there should be 70,000 people there going bananas? What has that process been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been weird. It was definitely weird the week one, because no preseason. We hadn't been through any kind of a dress rehearsal. And in this business, it's such a one-on-one deal, you know, whether it's meeting with the coaches and the players in a boardroom or in their facility or at their hotel. So much of the trust that's built to get what we need from these guys is based off that one-on-one relationship. And now that's all gone away overnight. So, you know, fortunately, we do have enough of a relationship with most of the coaches and players to where we can still get what we need via Zoom. That's been a bit of a challenge. Once you get to the game, you know, once the game starts, it's basically football. It's basically the same. I mean, we have the plexiglass in between us, which makes for a challenging situation. The biggest adjustment for us has just been, like you said, calling these games in basically empty stadiums. You know, Cleveland had 12,000 people. We did a game in Miami. They had, I think, 13,000. But, you know, these stadiums are so huge. That's basically like having nothing. And that's the one thing that really we've missed. The energy that you get, the boost from the atmosphere in so many of these stadiums. Like this week would have been fun. You know, since it's a big game for the Bengals, you've got Tennessee coming to town, a team who's a title contending team. And the place would have been, you know, really fun to be in. Now you kind of have to manufacture that energy as a broadcaster. And now, you know, look, we've all got to earn our paycheck now and sometimes generate an excitement and enthusiasm. I will say, thank God for the artificial crowd noise that they're pumping through, because without that, it would really, really be challenging.
Yeah, it has sounded good on the broadcast, for sure, Spiro. All right, before we let you go, that last thing I was going to ask you about is we always love getting people's impressions of Nashville. Obviously, you've been here multiple times, and COVID would affect your ability to do much while you're here, I would imagine. But how much do you enjoy coming to Nashville?
Oh, my God. It's become a top three city for me. We stay in that area. God, what's the name of the district? I think they call it the Gulch. You guys could probably tell me. Fantastic. I mean, just up and coming. Every time I've been there the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, there's the number of cranes around the city has just really been astounding. I mean, the level of development, it's clearly that it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And I just love everything about it. I love the people. I've always loved coming to the South, whether it's for an NBA game or a college game. And now with the Titans, with the emergence now, I've always thought it's such a great sports town. And it's been cool to see now the resurgence of this franchise get to this level, you know, to a point where there's an anticipation now for Titans games every week. And it's been really fun. And we're looking forward to getting our first one with these guys this week.
Well, Spiro, when you get ready to spend that summer in Arkansas, let me know. I can find you some amazing places to stay and visit. You just I'll be your travel agent. You just holler at me whenever you need that.
I'm going to take you up on that, brother. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Spiro and Adam Archuleta on the call on Sunday right here, Titans and Bengals. Always great to hear from you, Spiro. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, buddy.
Spiro Dedis, that dude is still a very young guy, Buck, and has been in the public spotlight for a long time calling games. Was the voice of the Lakers for a while. I mean, this guy's done a whole lot. He's one of those guys that's really interesting because there's nothing you can't talk to him about where he hasn't been involved in it. But he ought to know that Bengals team pretty well, having the Bengals-Browns game last week. That was a fun one to watch. This one on Sunday has the potential to be fun, too. One thing we had teased was, obviously, this is a team, the Bengals, are struggling on defense. Could be a very big opportunity for Derrick Henry. And you wanted to get kind of deeper into the season that number 22 is having this year, right? Now, you may want to talk some about his hamburger judgment, because he's taken an absolute beating on that for the last 12 hours on social media.
I mean, embarrassing. The idea that Derrick Henry, superstar running back, now ambassador of all things Old Spice, which is a subject matter that we could get to later. If we have enough time, but this man, I don't know. I don't know if it's for a lack of exposure. I don't know what is available to him in Yulee, Florida, where he grew up and where he has not, if he has not yet expanded his horizons in Nashville or before that in Tuscaloosa. I don't know. All I know is he's dead wrong on the idea that Wendy's, no free ads, is the best of the fast food hamburgers. And to your point, Mick, with him winning or the announcement being made this morning that he has since been crowned, no pun intended, the AFC's Offensive Player of the Month for October, I'm looking at these numbers because they played three games in the month of October. They played the Bills, the Texans, and now the Steelers. COVID disrupted their schedule slightly. But for the rest of the running backs around the league, or the rest of the offensive performers around this particular conference, I say fraud with this Offensive Player of the Month award. And I do not want that to sound as just complete and utter disparagement for Derrick Henry, because I find him to be an incredibly impressive athlete on a number of different fronts. But when two of the games that have been played in this month are for 57 yards, two touchdowns, albeit against the Bills, and then 75 yards against the Steelers, the one in the middle is 212 with the game winner in overtime and a 94-yard touchdown run. All of these things are impressive. But you mean to tell me that not one offensive player in the conference had a better performance than that? One for 57, another for 75. I don't care how many. I mean, I do care how many touchdowns you score. But, like, what is that? It's laziness. It's laziness on the part of the NFL.
We can get into this more on the other side. Where do you fall on this? Also, Mike Vrabel talked a little bit today about Derrick Henry, his performance in the passing game. That continues to be something that Titans fans discuss. We can get into that more. Derrick Henry, AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Did his performance, Buck, laid out his case? Did it merit that? Maybe this was a lifetime achievement award for something, you know? Maybe it's something more like that. Maybe the 1 week was so good, Buck, that it overshadowed those other performances and buoyed him onto the title of AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Here's the phone number, 615-737-1045. What do you think about the King? Let us know. It's Blaine and Mickey with special guest Buck Rising on 104.5 This Morning.
Get the Titans and Bengals. Coverage starts Sunday at 10 a.m. with kickoff at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
Ratting and rolling through the first hour of the Blaine and Mickey Show. Buck Rising sitting in for Blaine today. So Buck laid out his case that certainly Derrick Henry having a fine year, and he had a fine month, but really, did he do enough to earn the AFC Offensive Player of the Month award? I don't know if you get an award, but you get mentioned for it. Maybe they send you a plaque or something like that. I don't know what they send you. But Buck's saying, surely there were others who maybe had a larger month, more game, greater statistical numbers. Jeff says to Buck on Twitter, you have to consider he did it in 13 days, Buck. So there you go. And Gary says that Josh Norman stiff arm was enough for me to crown DH Offensive Player of the Millennium. That was rudeness personified. It doesn't get any more offensive than that, says Gary in a fantastic tweet.
Oh, no. Listen, I do agree that the stealing of Josh Norman's soul with a stiff arm that could have sent him to the core of the earth for the way that one grown man threw another one backwards. And Not even like he got him in the chest. Like, Derek could have been called for holding on that particular play, the way he grabbed Josh Norman by the shoulder pad and just flung him almost into, what did Taylor Lewan say in that Showtime Sports? So flung him into the family and friends section at Nissan Stadium because of the force with which Derrick Henry hit Josh Norman. And I want to make this clear, because this is not just me trying to be controversial. It's not that I do not appreciate the greatness with which Derrick Henry performs. But also, I'm not coming at this and saying, okay, Derrick Henry doesn't deserve it just because I say so. I'm coming at this looking at the rest of the league, understanding that Derrick Henry is a huge part of what their success is, but also saying to myself, Mickey, I don't necessarily think that he is the most important part through these five and one their record. I don't think he's been the most important part of their success. To me, the greater argument honestly lies with Ryan Tannehill, but I'm not just Ryan Tannehill, like across the AFC, there are a bunch of quarterbacks performing at a high level who I think the case could easily be made. But of course, we have opened up the phone lines for this, 615-737-1045, and I don't want to keep the people waiting, so I'll gas bag after we hear from, I think, Jamie and Pegram is up first here on the Blaine and Mickey Show. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, guys. On the 57-yard game and the 75-yard game, you have to tie
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. And your is that the seatbelt chime that we hear in the background? Is that drive safely, no, Jamie?
I think he was telling you time's up on what you said. That's what that beep meant.
Well, listen, I understand. My girlfriend calls him the magnet because of the way that people just gravitate towards him and he pulls them along. For somebody who doesn't understand football or doesn't care to pay much attention to it,
she says that about Jamie and Pegram or Derrick Henry.
Probably both. It's okay. I think that's the sonar we hear. It's like the hunt for Red October. Jamie and Pegram out here after the Russians.
We got Jimmy in Nashville up next. Jimmy, what do you say to Gas Bag Buck Rising about what he said?
And Buck, I understand that to the point, but I just wanted to say when you do a good job of your job. When you woke up, Monday morning or whatever the day was, and you watched all the sports shows after the Bills game, what were they talking about? And they were talking about the stiff arm. I mean, you couldn't get rid of it. And, I mean, the Offensive Player of the Month, I mean, you can go to the stats, blah, 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 but you all know it's a ratings award. And who won the ratings of the month? You could call it the NFL ratings of the month, because after he followed up the Bills game with the 200-yard performance, he had locked it up after game two. It didn't even matter what he did in the Steelers game, because it's not based off stats and who's technically the most important player on the team per se. But Derrick Henry won the week, he won the 2 weeks, he won the month, and it's not even a question. So I'm surprised you even have to question this. I wonder why you even question this. But I'll let you go. I love your voice. I love your name. But I question your opinion. Thank you.
That was super nice. Nice ending to that call. I love your voice. I love your name. Nobody's said anything nice to me in ages, Buck. Nice.
I'm sitting here blushing. You can't see it on the radio. I feel Jimmy in Nashville has just tried to seduce me, but I appreciate that, Jimmy. What I will say you though is,
hold on, I don't want to interrupt. He also asked for your phone number. So just putting it out there.
615-737-1045.
That's it.
Chime on in. point being, like Jimmy to a degree is right, and I don't want to discount. I say all this to say it is not to discount what Derrick Henry is or what Derrick Henry does, and the media, the national media, because apparently nobody cares what local media has to say about the team that they spend most of the time covering. It's all about who's on SportsCenter and NFL Live and so on and so forth. He is what draws the greatest amount of attention to the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill, through those same three games, he is completing well over 65% of his passes. He has, let's see, 7, 8, 9 touchdowns and one interception in the same span. He has been a candidate for the NFL MVP, and I understand we're only in week 8 of the NFL season, and those things are silly to even discuss, but yet here we are just debating the merits of an AFC player or offensive player of the month award. Like, it's not that deep. All I'm saying is, Derrick Henry, they are more likely to give the attention to. I am convinced that the more impressive performance, and I know that people hate when we do this, debating between who is more important to their success, Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry, but I cannot get over what I'm watching from Ryan Tannehill, because what he has done to my football watching experience has totally revolutionized it since watching the Tennessee Titans over the course of 4 years.
Well, and Jim Wyatt and others have broken it down. His 16-game run as the Titans starter, his first 16 regular season starts, 327 for 473. That's 69% completion, 4,188 yards, 37 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, Buck, and a 116.5 quarterback rating. And if you go back in Titans history, as Jim Wyatt did, Titans Online, first 16 starts for other Titans quarterbacks, really that Matt Hasselbeck season of 2011 has sort of been like the one where, like, people, gosh, remember when Matt Hasselbeck did it for over 3,500 yards? It was 3,571 for Titan passing, not Oilers, because you got Warren Moon in your history, but for Titan passing, that was the goldest of gold standards, and Tannehill has obliterated that. So this is offensive football like we've never seen around these parts anyway by these professional Tennessee Titans. We'll go back to the phones later. We'll continue to take calls when we can, 615-737-1045. Buck and Mickey, Adam Humphreys coming up at 2:15. You don't want to go anywhere.
Brent Daugherty is just like you. I mean, he loves SEC football, live music, bourbon, and all things Middle Tennessee. And you get him for your drive home on the 3HL with Don Davenport this afternoon from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.